Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez, a partner at Verrill Dana, guest hosting today's show for your regular beloved host, David Chulo. Today, our guest is Celine Free, the Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. Welcome, Celine.
Thanks, Tawny. It's great to be here.
So today we're going to talk about a lot of fun and interesting things, but we're really going to dig down specifically and talk about creating a culture that fits your brand. Celine, for those of our listeners who may not be familiar with you and with Allagash Brewing Company, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your history before joining Allagash Brewing Company?
Sure. I've been doing HR for about 20 years now. And got my start in the Cambridge, Mass area in the late 90s in a high-tech company that was just an amazing experience. So I was very fortunate to see in my very first real job what great culture can be. And that really inspired me to get involved in HR and try to bring that wherever I work. I've been at Allagash now for 6.5 years, and during that time, we've grown from a company of about 40 employees to 130. So it's really changed in the 6.5 years I've been there, but the goal is to maintain the best parts of the culture while allowing for healthy growth and many different types of people to succeed there.
One of the things I think is really cool about your evolution into your current position is that you have experience in very different industries, right? And what we're going to talk about, I think, later in the show is how diverse the Allagash community and culture is as well, between being in a service industry, between being in manufacturing, adding alcohol into the mix. But for those of our listeners who are not aware of Allagash Brewing Company, I think it becomes pretty apparent from the name that you brew something. But can you let our listeners know a little bit about Allagash, your product, and your mindset as a company?
Absolutely. So Allagash began in 1995. It was a one-man operation at that time, started by my boss, Rob Todd. We brew Belgian-inspired beer. So the beer that we make is really inspired by some travels Rob did as a younger person, and he fell in love with the Belgian style of brewing, which is really a creative style of brewing where many, many different types of ingredients are welcomed and used. He grew the business slowly for the first 10 years, and there wasn't as much demand for that type of beer. It was considered kind of too far out. But with the evolution of good food and appreciation for good beer in Portland and in the U.S. in general, the past 10 years, Allagash has really taken off. So we are available in, we distribute in 17 states plus D.C. So we're the Eastern Seaboard minus Florida, and then Chicago and California.
Wonderful. And for those of our listeners who aren't in the greater Portland or Maine area, I mean, right now, Portland specifically and Maine in general is just seeing a complete boom in the brewing industry. And I think one of the interesting aspects about that industry change is the fact that the longevity of Allagash makes it one of the most senior players, I'd say, in the market here in the local community.
Yes. And, you know, I think a big reason for that is Rob has always been so grateful to be a part of the Portland community. And he is committed to and has been since the early days of being a very good partner in the community and giving back to the local Portland community. So we get involved in all sorts of ways beyond just a business relationship.
And I think that touches a little bit on that corporate belief system. But specifically, I mean, when you're talking about giving back to the community, in what ways is Allagash focusing on that aspect of its corporate being?
So we give back in many, many different ways. And we give in the neighborhood of $300,000 a year back to the local community. We do it in many ways. We have a philanthropy coordinator and a philanthropy team at Allegash. And so we have grant proposals that come in twice a year, and we allocate money that way. We also have some charity partners that we brew beer for, with the intent that a percentage of the beer that we sell goes back to these particular partners. For example, the Barbara Bush Children's Hospital, where many of our employees' babies have been born. We fund pediatric nursing scholarships there, and that's a really wonderful relationship. We also work with Maine Organic Farmers and Growers Association, Cultivating Community. We're passionate about local food and helping farmers in Maine. We've committed to a million pounds of grain being used in our beer by 2022. And so that has created all sorts of great partnerships with malters and farmers up in Aroostook County. So that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. But we really love being part of the greater Portland and larger Maine community.
And for those listeners who maybe aren't exactly aware of the products itself, other than it being a brewing company, things like your beer 16 Counties, when you're focusing on both the philanthropy that you're doing, but you're also truly putting it into your product, or the Victoria Ale and the giving back to the Victoria Mansion. And to me, I think this serves as a foundation of the discussion that we're going to have today about how your corporate culture, your core philanthropic beliefs, your corporate product concept and modules play into the work environment itself.
Absolutely. And so we do have six values that we, you know, have at Allegash, and one of them is caring, and it goes on to say being a responsible and caring member of the community. So for all of those values, you know, writing them down is to some extent the easy part. It's living them every day that makes it real. And so for all of those values, we have programs, practices, activities that are directly examples.
So you recently shared an article with me that included survey results from brewers across the country. And one aspect of that article that I found extremely interesting was actually a quote. Mm-hmm. And the quote was, "Good situations don't happen by chance. Owners and managers need to have plans to address the challenges of the workplace. In the absence of this attention, it just becomes chaos." And I feel like there is something truly striking about that quote that we as managers, as HR professionals, and for those listeners who are owners, need to recognize and keep at top of mind. Do you agree with that kind of statement? And if so, what steps do you believe owners and managers can take to address these workplace challenges?
I do totally agree with that comment. I think what we're striving for is an environment that feels natural and almost effortless. And yet the reality is, similar to a great party that you go to, it's not effortless to put it together. It requires a lot of work. And with culture, you know, what I said to Rob, when I first met Rob, and they were at about 40 employees and under 50,000 barrels of beer, we talked about the internal culture matching the external brand and how important that synergy is for authenticity. And we also talked about, as you grow, things that accidentally happen, accidental exchange of information and ideas, the way you all know each other really well. If you're a 15-person shop, you don't really have to put programs and practices into place to get to know your coworkers. You just know them if you're working in physical proximity day in and day out.
One would always hope, I think, in the perfect culture, in anything that's even moving towards a perfect corporate culture, you have managers or people in the team who take an effort and make it a priority to have those type of relationships.
Right, right. And so if that's important to you, if you're lucky enough to have that when you're small, as you grow, you need to set up mechanisms and thoughtful means of the things that are important to you happening, because you can no longer expect that by chance it'll just happen. People will just find out if they need to know. So, you know, one of the things that I've tried to focus on a lot is what are the goals, and then what structures do we need to put into place to make sure those things are happening? And yet, because we're craft beer and because it's none of our style to feel forced or corporate, we want to have these structures feel almost invisible and like support, but not in your face.
And I know that you're focusing a lot on the policies and practices, and I think that that's super important because it shows a very proactive approach to creating culture as an organization grows in size and number and production and all those concepts. And I think a lot of people maybe look at this purely from that standpoint of like, okay, we've got policies and practices in place, especially right now in the hashtag MeToo arena. There's a difference between companies that have the policies and practices in place and the companies that live by it, that do the training, that are aware, that have managers who are at the forefront of this, and not just that, but who won't allow a bad apple to ruin what the culture is. And I think that that's something that relates to all aspects of HR generally, what a bad hire does, and then whether or not you have a corporate culture that says this is inappropriate and we need to take steps to remedy this behavior. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on generally kind of how you respond when maybe there is a bad hire that occurs and how you don't allow that to ruin the culture that you guys are working so hard to create, but to make it look effortless.
Well, I think part of what we try to do at Allagash is to create shared norms and expectations. And as we've gotten larger, the idea of common sense, I've learned that that can sometimes burn you. So you can't rely on people to all have the same common sense. Sometimes you need to write things down and explain, here are our expectations. And our approach has been to try to get out ahead in front of things before we have an issue. So what we don't want is someone to have a horrible harassment situation and then we develop a program around how to address sexual harassment. Or we don't want people to have alcohol mishaps that are very serious and unfortunate and then we develop guidelines around responsible drinking for our workers. I realize that's not a typical workplace scenario, but because we are a brewery and there's beer available, we have a slightly different challenge there. So that's been that approach has served us really well. You might hear me knocking, but it has worked and will continue because with growth comes new opportunities and new challenges. And so it's kind of, you know, with safety, making sure you don't want to respond to an accident and get safer. You want to be always looking ahead. Here's a potential hazard. Let's make it safer so that no one ever gets injured. So with hiring, it's a huge time-consuming process at Allagash. It's much more involved than it is at most companies. When we hire seasonal workers in the tasting room, they will meet with at least a half dozen Allagash employees and managers. There are no positions that you can be hired at Allagash where you have you talk to one or two people. It's too important for that. So we put a lot of time and effort onto the process ahead of time to try to have as few bad hires as possible.
I think that's really important. And I think if you've listened to the show at all in the past, you've heard David and other guests talk about the importance of having good hires and the effect that that can have moving forward, both from a cultural standpoint and also, I mean, I'm clearly an attorney, so I'm a little bit biased, but also from a legal standpoint, how often we run into issues that are a result purely of bad hires.
Absolutely. And so because our process is vigorous, and Allagash is a vigorous place to work, I feel that the hiring process matches what the employment experience looks like. So if you're exhausted by interviews, you probably aren't going to work out as an employee either. So part of the conversations I have with people is, how's your experience been so far in the hiring process? And if their answer is, oh, I've had to talk to so many people, I'm exhausted, I know that probably that person's probably not going to work out.
So you are listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we are back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and maine.dalecarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Celine Free, the Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company, and today we are talking about creating a culture that fits your brand. Celine, before the break, you made reference to something called a tasting room, and I think it's important for you to give the audience a general overview of what kind of elements to Allagash there is. I mean, there is the manufacturing element to it, clearly. There appears to be a corporate kind of formation aspect to it when you're talking about giving and philanthropy. You're in HR, you have a president, and then also this tasting room concept. Can you also elaborate on, A, what the tasting room is, and then if that adequately describes kind of what you're looking at when you're dealing with the HR aspects of it?
Sure. You know, I often say that Allagash is really many different types of businesses under one umbrella because we do have widely different departments that have completely different schedules, cultures, challenges. And so trying to align, figure out where we can be similar and where to let people do their own thing is an interesting part of doing HR at Allagash. So the tasting room specifically, it's a place people come. We host over 100,000 visitors each year, and we give them a taste of Allagash, literally and figuratively, so people can sample all different types of beer. They can take a free tour throughout the brewery and get a sense of how beer is made. And it's something we're incredibly proud of. We routinely are ranked one of the top breweries in the country and one of the top tourist attractions in Portland because of the hard work that this crew does. So that's the tasting room. And then we have a manufacturing environment, which is obvious, and then an amazing engineering team that is on call all of the time because the sophisticated mechanical stuff that you need operating to make beer could break at any moment. We also have a warehouse that is huge and houses all of our raw materials. We have a remote sales force all over the country, so there's a mobile department and culture of a remote team. And then, as you mentioned, there is the office. So marketing, HR, finance. So we
product development.
We all, yeah. So Exactly. And product development is anyone. Because of our pilot beer system, people from all of the departments that I mentioned can submit a recipe, work with a brewer to make it on a small 10-gallon system. And depending on how it does and what we need in our beer portfolio, it could be sold in our tasting room or even anywhere in the country. So a lot of different cultures under one giant culture.
So one of the things that we have been discussing, I think, for at least the last few decades and from an HR standpoint is how you can use that corporate culture to both attract and retain top talent. Now, considering the breadth of the workers that you're looking for, I mean, how do you maintain a culture that's still going to attract people for all of those different types of jobs, some of which may require advanced degrees, others of which may require much less education, others that are very forward-facing and that would require specific types of interpersonal skills, I guess would be the best way to describe it. So while I think most companies and operations are looking for people to fill both corporate needs that may have some specialized training or skills, I feel as though the vastness from what you've described of Allagash requires you not only to look in a multitude of places, but also to develop a portfolio of people, I guess, that have a shared culture or belief system, but that also do extremely different jobs. And do you have any thoughts on the best way to accomplish that, or what has Allagash found to work in that sense?
Sure. I mean, there are many ways that I could answer this question. With regard to retention, one thing that we're doing is we're trying to attract the best and brightest in all positions. So in Maine, for office jobs, we might be competing with an L.L. Bean or a Unum. And in brewing, we're competing with the best brewers in the country, so a Sierra Nevada or a New Belgium. So we want to have salaries and benefits that compete on that level. So we have a very high caliber benefits package, one of the most generous that I've honestly ever seen. And then we pay very competitively. So we're able, you know, kind of apples to apples, we're able to attract people that can work at the best places in the country. We then, what do we have that sets us apart is the culture. And so, you know, I describe these many different departments that to some extent each have their own identity and culture, and yet there are things that we share in common. As an example, anyone in any department who has a personal situation that, you know, they need support, they're treated with respect. It doesn't matter what department you work in. You're treated with compassion. You're treated with respect. There's genuine concern for you as a person. And we really try to get to know everyone who works at Allagash as people, not just as a worker, but as who, what makes you tick? Who are you? What are your values? And we look for values alignment at the time of hire. So we find that the employment relationship is so enhanced if we hire people that are excited about things we're doing in the community, like the million pounds of grain, or like giving back to these different philanthropy partners. It feels like more than just a paycheck. And that fulfillment is multidimensional, and it seems to result in long-term tenure. We have people that have been here 10 years, 15 years, and thankfully, they seem content and like they'll continue.
I think that you used a great term earlier today, and that was about what the cultural norm is and the expectation that respect will be given to employees and that you will kind of abide by. It sounds much too strong, but live by the principles of Allagash. Today, we are speaking to Celine Free from Allagash Brewing Company, and you're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Now, Celine, we're talking more and more about how culture of the workplace also can tie into the branding of the company itself and how Allagash is successfully incorporating those two elements in its growth. For from a cultural aspect, how does Allagash itself foster growth within the organization? You mentioned that you've had employees who have been there for a decade or longer. And how do you retain top talent so that they are both happy to grow with you and engaged? I think one of the things you mentioned earlier was a pilot program. And I didn't know if there were other, if you could expand on that or also talk about other elements that you think is helping to maintain engagement.
Yeah, so I describe Allagash as being in this magical size where you have the stability of an established company and a fantastic benefits package, and yet it doesn't have bureaucracy and you can get a lot done and ideas are heard from anywhere. So you don't have to be at a certain level in a management role. If you have a good idea that will help us run the business better from whatever department that you work in, it quickly gets attention. And I always feel like it's a good sign of the health of an organization when a new hire starts and a couple months later, either my boss, Rob, or our brewmaster or someone at a high level will say to me, wow, so-and-so is crushing it. So the fact that someone at the very top can notice potentially an entry-level worker and the job that they're doing is, to me, the sign of good health.
That is really, I think, great to hear, and I think says a lot about the culture itself and why you're likely able to retain people for a decade or more. I think some people might say, like, oh, well, Tani, they're brewing beer, so who wouldn't? But I think that also adds to a concept that distinguishes Allagash is that, okay, you're brewing beer. A lot of people would find that super sexy and kind of a job that they would want or to be a part of. But not every brewery has the same cultural norm that Allagash has. Is it your experience that you sometimes find people who just want to be employed by a brewery and other times you find people who truly are living by the culture?
You know, I say that every job is someone's dream job at Allagash. So what we try really hard to do is look for fit in the position we're hiring for. There are many people that just want to get their foot in the door, but that doesn't really work for us because we don't want to hire people to work on the packaging line who are simply looking for a quick entree into being the brewer. So we need to find someone who works in the packaging line, who enjoys working with a really complex piece of equipment and enjoys the quality control aspect of packaging. So we've found that more of a focus on the particular role has helped us with satisfaction overall.
When we're talking about satisfaction, I feel like satisfaction, engagement, that's a really big theme right now in HR generally across all industries. What would you say is one of the hardest aspects of being in human resources right now, today, 2018?
The reality of human resources is that you are a policymaker, you're advocating for change or you're advocating for norms. You'll never please everyone. And so you're always going to hear some complaint at some time, but that doesn't mean you've done anything wrong or you've gone in the wrong direction. It's just the reality of working with many people.
Absolutely. I always find it interesting, especially in this line of work, that you never know what your day's going to look like because you're dealing with not just the work relationships of all of your employees and their ability to interact with each other, but so often our lives aren't just dictated by what's happening at work, but from a personal standpoint, whether or not people bring those personal struggles or successes into the work environment and how that plays a role with the interpersonal relationships and dynamics of the organization itself.
Yeah, one of the things I love about Allagash is we have a lot of really engaged dads who work there. And so, you know, it's helpful we've tried to create a culture of understanding for people at all different stages of life. And that includes working parents. And so it is the norm that a dad with a sick child will let their supervisor know, I can't come into work today. I have a sick child. And there are absolutely no repercussions. In fact, there's support. People chime in with, oh, I'm so sorry to hear your child is sick. I hope she feels better soon. So I feel like that may sound like a little thing, but there are cultures that aren't as healthy. And these small things can add up to a healthy culture.
Absolutely. And that idea of what the norm is at Allagash, the fact that it's the expectation that when a manager gets an email saying, hey, my kid's sick, that the manager's first response isn't, oh, I didn't even realize that they had a kid. Because you have some organizational cultures in which the expectation is there's no discussion about children. You are here at work. You will do what you are being paid to do. I don't want to know about anything that's going on in your personal life. Even if it potentially does affect what's happening at work, you're here to work. And that is what the expectation is.
That's right. And I think that's kind of the great opportunity in HR is to blow those stereotypes out of the water. We've all seen them, the horrible HR director, the horrible HR department, the office space. But there's a real opportunity to do things completely differently. And that makes a workplace a wonderful place to be.
And do you think that there is the ability for managers specifically, I'd say, to evolve into that culture of understanding that just because you may have done it differently somewhere else, that's not what the expectation here is, especially since you came from a place that also had a great culture, but that was a different environment?
Yes, absolutely. We put a fair amount of effort into training managers. And so there's the practical component of how do you approve someone's time card? But then there's also the ideological component. And we try to get alignment around that to be inclusive and bring all managers kind of into the fold, help them understand Rob's vision. Sometimes I say we're guests in Rob's home when we are at Allagash. And so here's how Rob would want us to treat his extended family, which are all the people that work in Allagash, and that seems to help.
I love that framing of the issue. And everyone who's heard me speak before knows what a big advocate I am for manager training. And I'm really loving kind of that framing of the issue. You are listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, this is Derek Volk, host of The Derek Volk Show. I want to tell you about my book, Chasing the Rabbit, A Dad's Life Raising a Son on the Spectrum. My book is a rare and emotionally truthful story of my experiences as a father raising a son on the autism spectrum. When Dylan was 2 years old, my wife sat me down and said, "Something's not quite right with Dylan." My book takes you from birth to that day at age two until he was diagnosed with autism 6 years later. And then through his extremely rocky middle school years, his volatile high school life, and his challenging path to adulthood. The story has been called extremely raw and shockingly honest, and has been given 5 stars by every review on Amazon. Please go to our website, chasingtherabbit.org, to learn more about our story. That's chasingtherabbit.org.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
And we are back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.dalecarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Celine Free, the Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company. And today, we're talking about creating a culture that fits your brand. Now, before the break, Celine, you and I were talking about my unbelievable passion for manager training specifically, the importance of it, both from a cultural standpoint, which I think from an everyday standpoint is super important, but also as a lawyer in the room, from a legal standpoint, and the importance of those managers truly identifying with your brand and protecting both your culture and the entity itself. Now, in most organizations, being a manager is the be-all and end-all. That's what we all want. Does Allagash maintain that same mindset, or are you guys doing anything different in that regard?
No. This is something I feel strongly about, and experience in software early on in my career taught me that some of your best and brightest individual contributors do not necessarily make good people leaders, but you still want those folks to be able to advance and continue to learn and grow and get increased compensation and reward. So there's this concept of the principal software engineer. Translating that into the brewing industry, what we try to do at Allagash is have three distinct career possibilities, one being a subject matter expert, where you are the expert in whatever that may be, packaging, brewing, warehouse operations. Another option is managing a program or a process. So in this role, you wouldn't have direct reports necessarily, but you are responsible for overseeing a function. An example of that would be the manager of our sensory program. This person works in our lab in QC and manages this kind of amazing tasting program where every beer that we sell is sampled by a group of panelists that he trains carefully. And then another option is the more obvious one, a leader of people. And so our hope is that by having varied ways to grow and get increased responsibility, the people that end up leading teams are the ones who truly feel called to do that, as opposed to people just thinking, well, I need to make more money. Let me just become a manager.
And I think that this creates some really good talking points for listeners out there who are attempting to figure out ways to engage certain aspects of their personnel, but maybe aren't in a place or a position to offer management responsibilities to someone. We often talk about the fact that a lot of people just are not cut out for being people managers. Mm-hmm. They are amazing at the job that they do. And I love the fact that these three paths provide the opportunity to continue to grow as a person and as an employee within the organization without necessarily requiring them to specialize or to work on a task or a trait that may not come naturally to them.
Exactly. And another favorite thing that we do at Allagash is really creativity around roles. So we have some longer term people who something's missing for them. And so we'll work with them to figure out what that is and do their wishes and needs to express themselves align with Allagash's needs to run a successful business. If we can find some overlap there, we will totally do stuff that other employers I've never seen do. So an example is one of our senior packaging operators. He is so passionate about Allagash and he loves customer engagement, but working on the bottling line, there isn't that opportunity. So one day a week, he works in our tasting room. And rather than a four-day work week like the rest of the crew packaging, he does 5 days. And one of those days, he is in the tasting room. And the tasting room crew loves having a technical person that's been around for 11 years engaging with guests. And they can ask him really detailed questions. And it's been such a win-win for everyone. And we have a bunch of examples like that where it requires taking a bit of a chance, but it has paid off so substantially every single time that I hope we can continue to do it.
So you are currently listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Today we're talking to Celine Free from Allagash Brewing Company about creating a HR culture that works with your corporate brand. Now, Celine, We're talking a lot right now about engagement generally, and engagement, I think, is one of the big aspects of retention. But another big element of retention generally is benefits. And I know you talked earlier about making sure that you're offering competitive wages and other benefits. I mean, people are aware of traditional benefits that are helpful, 401k, short-term, long-term disability, some sort of paid time off. In certain states and areas, we have a legal requirement now to provide some sort of paid sick leave or other type of paid time off. Are there other types of benefits that may be less traditional that Allagash is finding are helping to retain top talent?
Absolutely. We do a lot of milestone gifts, kind of celebrating different stages for people. And these milestones allow for some HR contact as well. So it starts with your one-year jacket. We let people pick out any jacket that they want, and we pay for up to $250. We have it logoed with the Allagash logo, and then people feel so proud and they wear it out in the community. After 3 years, they get this super cool ceramic mug that a local artist makes, and we sit down and we talk, how are things going? It's been 3 years. And just make sure that things still seem good to them. After 5 years, they go to Belgium on this all-expenses-paid trip with our brewmaster and founder, and firsthand get the opportunity to see why Belgian-inspired beers. And people come back from that trip. Oftentimes, it's someone's first trip to Europe. They can't stop talking about it. They bond with the coworkers that they've gone with in a way that's totally new and different. And usually, they feel invigorated and excited to get back to work. After 10 years, we offer a four-week paid sabbatical to do anything you want. And the thinking behind this, you can also add 2 weeks of vacation onto it for a total of 6 weeks. The thinking is twofold. One, you've been here for 10 years. You probably want to take a breather. I mean, that's a big chunk of your life. So take some time. Benefits continue. You're paid. And do whatever it is. Some people travel. Other people relax and spend time with their families. Some people fix up their houses. Some people, it doesn't matter, and we have no requirements on that. And then we offer that every 5 years thereafter, after your tenure, so you have that opportunity, if you're truly a long-term employee, to continue recharging. It's really a thank you at that point.
In addition to kind of those tasks for longevity or those benefits from a longevity standpoint, I mean, from a community standpoint and a day-to-day atmosphere, my understanding is that there's some other, I don't want to say perks, but definitely perks to being an Allagash employee, from kind of an on-site fitness location,
yeah,
to just general ability for community involvement?
Sure, absolutely. So we take wellness very seriously. Obviously, there could be a dark side to working in the alcohol business. So we want to break down any barriers for people to staying well. That includes a generous PTO program. It includes flexible schedules. And we do have an on-site fitness center that's free of charge for employees. We have a fitness in the field program for our sales team so that they're involved as well. And then we have a gear library. So what that is the ability to sign out outdoor gear so you can try new sports without having to spend a lot of money. So we have surfboards and paddle boards and a canoe and everything you would need to go with that. A life jacket, dry bags, so you can get out and have some good fun outside.
I think that one of the things that this with hope is helpful to our listeners in understanding is that when we talk about benefits, there's nothing wrong with thinking outside of the box. Yes, I'm sure that some of these benefits also have taken years, months to institute or create. I mean, it goes to the statement you made earlier that the whole point of creating a culture, and especially through HR, is to make it seem effortless. And some of these things that you've mentioned, I think to a lot of listeners would be like, that's so easy. I could do that, right? But in creating some of these benefits or cultural perks, There's been a lot of very serious thought and effort that has gone into making it appear as though, like, yeah, it seems easy for us to have a whole bunch of equipment that people can rent and use before they decide to buy it. But in creating that policy or making that decision, I mean, I presume there was a lot of thought and effort that went into whether or not it was a valuable use of company time and expenses.
And also it's knowing your employees, because it's not us, you know, in an office cooking up a scheme. It's knowing that our employees love the outdoors. So that's why we're doing it. We're not trying to get people who don't like to go outside to go outside. We're trying to help people who already like to do this sort of outdoor activity and just make it a little easier for them. So it all starts with, if you want to benefit to be successful, it starts with knowing your demographic really well. And so that's why things like our tuition reimbursement benefit, which is super generous, up to $4,000 a year for any employee, and paid volunteer time up to 16 hours a week, those work because we have people that want to do that stuff anyway.
And you're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
And we are back, and you are listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Celine Free, the Human Resources Director at Allagash Brewing Company, and we're talking about creating a culture that fits your brand. Now, culture is something that's very internalized. If you're working within the organization, you have an idea of what the company's culture is. But I think there's also an element of culture that spreads outside of the company itself and that maybe plays a role in how the company itself is viewed in the community. Do you have thoughts on how Allagash maybe is expanding on that concept or effectively, I don't want to say marketing itself to the community, but making sure that the community is aware that this is a company that believes strongly in giving back to the community?
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the qualities of our founder, Rob, and our brewmaster, Jason, who's been there about 20 years as well, they're very humble people. So not likely to be talking too much about, here are all the great things we're doing. And yet, I think because Allagash has so consistently given back, we do have a very solid and positive relationship in the community. We are blessed with employees who I feel all of them are stewards of our reputation and brand in the community. Any employee in any department can have a very articulate conversation with any community member who inquires about Allagash. And we feel that this really is a differentiator for us. We let people from all different departments represent us at festivals and events because everyone is an ambassador. And so it seems like a relationship that's very symbiotic. We love the community loves us, and it just kind of perpetuates.
In having all of these amazing brand ambassadors kind of generally, I think that definitely goes to what we talked about earlier, which is making the right hiring decision and the fact that employees at Allagash are going to meet with multiple people before they join the team. Are there aspects of HR's policies and practices or Allegash's policies and practices that directly help employees who may feel as though they don't have the time or energy to make civic engagement a part of their everyday life easier or less stressful?
Sure. I mean, the concept of partnership comes up again and again with our benefits, where we don't want to be too paternalistic doing for employees. We want to help employees that we do things together. And so with volunteering, for example, Allegash does all these things as a company that are great, but we encourage employees to do it as well. So that's where this idea of 16 hours paid time off for every employee comes into play. And we're very flexible. You know, some people use it to coach their nephew's little league team. Others, we encourage managers to set up group volunteer activities with their team. It's a wonderful way to engage your team, and you can customize it so it's something really meaningful for the small group itself. We also do matching funds. So employees who feel strongly about a cause will double that for the employee.
I think that goes back to, again, that engagement level. By allowing people to make a choice as to what is important to them, what they feel passionate about, it allows them to have a voice in the process and to be more engaged, because you have a diverse population.
Exactly.
And if you didn't, I mean, is that the organization you're looking for? The goal is to have a diverse organization with multiple thoughts and multiple life experiences to help expand the organization. And I think that this kind of autonomy in deciding how you spend your time and resources.
And trust.
Exactly. Autonomy and trust serves as the foundation, it sounds like, for some of this engagement by your employees.
Absolutely.
This is Tani Alvarez from Verald Dana on HR Power Hour on WLOB 100.5 FM. And today we've been talking to Celine Free of Allegash Brewing Company about creating a culture that fits your brand. Celine, thank you so much for your time today, for sharing with our listeners all the creative ways in which Allegash has created a culture that is able to attract and retain amazing employees. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tani. It was wonderful to be here.
And now your HR tip of the week. Your HR tip of the week is being sponsored by VeraldDana.com.
Hi, this is Tani Alvarez at Verald Dana. Let's talk about affinity groups. Affinity groups are groups organized based on social identity, shared characteristics, or life experiences. The creation of affinity groups comes with both risks and rewards. Rewards can include attracting, recruiting, and retaining employees, promoting diversity, cultural awareness, and inclusive work environment. This all provides a support group for employees. It can be used to enhance recruitment, marketing, business development, and the employer's public image. Further, affinity groups can foster development and learning through mentoring, networks, and the exchange of ideas. Risks, however, come in the form of discrimination or harassment claims under the ADA, Title VII, and the ADEA, or other state laws based on the topics discussed or comments made during group meetings that employees find offensive. That the employer doesn't recognize all affinity groups also can be problematic. Additionally, employers may experience employee resistance or confusion over an affinity group's purpose or the guidelines of participation. Additionally, employees should be mindful of wage and hour issues under the FLSA or state wage and hour laws. Further, employers should compensate employees for time spent participating in affinity group activities and still permit non-exempt employees to take any required breaks on schedule. As you can see, there's a lot to affinity groups. To further discuss these and other issues, contact a member of Verald Dana's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeraldDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.